I said something to Karen that I should not admit to the church this morning. I don't know about you, but it was a good and restful Christmas week for us at home. How many had a restful week? I mean, you probably had family over and stuff, and it was one of those chaotic restfulness, you know? And then someone, I'm not going to say who sent it to me, but someone sent me a text and showed me that a church had announced that it was Sunday at home today for that church. And I said, oh, man, we missed that one. And then I saw other churches and other friends, and everybody's posting online, and they said, you know, today is Sabbath Sunday. And we were pulling in, I told Karen, I said, you know, babe, next year this time could be, you know, Sabbath Sunday. Nothing wrong with that. You know, we could just record it and everybody watch online. And just not because I didn't feel like being here. It's just, you know, it's the holiday. Okay, maybe you don't know. Don't look at me with those judging eyes. But as we were worshiping, this came to mind. Just being here together with the saints, it reminds me of this picture that John had when an angel said, come up here, let me show you something. And in John chapter 4, he sees this scene where these four creatures and these 24 elders, they're gathered around the throne. And listen to these words that they sing in Revelation chapter 4, verse 8. It says, they did not cease day or night singing, holy, holy, holy is the Lord, the God Almighty, who was and is and is to come. And when they began to sing, all of a sudden they invited all the rest of creation began to sing together. And they sang, worthy are you, O Lord, our God, to receive glory and honor and power. For you created all things, and because of your will, they existed and they were created. And I think to myself, that it is good, and I'm not knocking any churches at home right now doing online church. Hey, if I thought about it, we might be worshiping, singing what he's done in our pajamas right now. But there's something beautiful about being together with the saints of God. And I can only imagine this overwhelming feeling that John had as he began to see all of creation singing together. And as I'm watching the words that are coming on the screen, I'm connecting so many of those words to what John saw in this heavenly vision. As you read throughout the book of Revelation, over and over and over, you're hearing about these words of the victory that he's won. You're seeing the lamb that stood as though slain, the lamb that was slain for our redemption. And so all of these songs that we're together in one place singing, believe it or not, even though it looks like there's only a couple hundred of us or so in a room here, all of creation, John says, that the 24 elders, that the creatures that we could not even describe in our best art history, they stand before the throne of God singing worthy, worthy, worthy. But you know what's beautiful though? Here's what's beautiful. There are some, and we're going to get there when we get there. There are some throughout this vision that John has, that have walked the walk that you and I walk today. There are some that have been tested and tried for their faith, and they stand now before the throne with white robes. But here's the beauty. The creatures can't sing what we sing. Do you know that when we come together on Sunday mornings to sing and praise and worship, that we sing a song, the word says that even the angels cannot sing. When we sing that, what he's done, see, we can sing a song that the angels cannot sing. We've been redeemed. So listen, church, for just a second, before we step out of our seats and greet one another, before we move on with the service, can we just go ahead and lift our hands and open up our mouths and thank God for what he's done? This is your last worship service of the year. Go ahead and give God a what he's done praise. Father, we thank you, God. We thank you, Lord, that you've invited us into your presence, Lord. Come on, church, don't get quiet. You lift up a thank you for what he's done for you. I can't thank God for what he's done for you. You can thank God for what he's done for you. Father, we thank you for being able to close out this year looking back and saying, thank you for what you've done. Lord, there's some that are in this place that they're still praying. Lord, would you do it? Lord, we thank you not only that you're the God who's done it, but you're the God who can do it, God. Lord, we know that Paul says that the one who began a good work in us is faithful and able to bring it to completion. So we thank you not only for what you've done, but for what you can do, Lord, what you desire to do. Father, we worship you in this place today, Lord, not just because there's songs on a screen, not just because it's a moment in worship service, but we sing these words to you because we are indeed grateful for what you've done in our lives. We thank you, Jesus, in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Why don't you turn to somebody real quick and just tell them it's good to see them this last Sunday of the year. We're going to go ahead and invite our ushers to come forward this morning. Good morning. As you go ahead and make your way to your seats, we're going to go ahead and receive the Lord's tithe and our offering this morning. And just a couple announcements. One announcement before the offering, and Debbie's going to come with some more church announcements. If you remember last week, we passed out these prayer cards. How many were not here last week and did not receive one of these cards here? Okay, if you weren't, there are going to be some at the back welcome table. Okay, folks, let me explain something to this church about how we name things. Okay, that is not a center. That is a bar. At the welcome bar, at the welcome center, there's a stack of these prayer request cards. If you have one and you filled that out already, as we pass the offering plate, I'm just going to ask you to slip it right there into the plate. Listen, church, we are going to enter a season of praying here at the church. And what I really want us to do, I want us to be all hands in on this. Hey, somebody say all hands. All hands. All hands. Now, I'm not talking about the hands that some of you all are going to receive at these game tables in just a few moments. Yes, the trash talking has begun already. Okay, I'm sorry. What was the song that we started off with? No, the very first song. Okay. I was in worship. I'm sorry, guys. I know you're standing there like, get it on. I was there worshiping, Lord. I was my hands, and I was, I'm going to see a victory. And some unnamed person, all out of the spirit, I'm not going to say that his name rhymes with Jason Guest, but just somebody. He comes over to me, Lisa, and says, I'm going to see a victory too. And I'm thinking, yeah, like he's declaring victory in his life. He said, later on at the card table. I said, you know what? I'm trying to worship right now, man. So, yeah, it's a lot of trash talking. And I apologize to everyone for what my wife's already been going around. Mike let me know already. She came in just talking all kinds of trash. But anyways, so I'd like to see everybody all hands in with these. So if you fill these out, you could go ahead and just slip them in the offering basket this morning as that comes around. Because we just really want to pray. We want to seek the face of God for what's taking place, not only in our church, but in our homes, in our academy, in our community for his kingdom. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your faithfulness to us throughout this year. Thank you for the faithfulness and the generosity of this congregation, Lord, that by their sacrifice, God, and by their stewardship of their finances, we are able to stay committed to kingdom work, not just here in our community, but literally around the world. Thank you for the missions and missionaries that are supported because of the faithfulness of we, your people. So we pray that you bless today every gift and every giver. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so much. Yes, and kids can stay in here. We're not going to be too long. I always say that. Yeah. I mean, whatevs, right? Huh? Hey, listen. If anybody in here ever been to college, you know cold pizza is where it's at. So cold pizza and ramen noodles. This Sunday, I was really looking forward to this time together because I think I've shared with you this story. I was sitting at the gym. I wasn't sitting. I wish I was sitting. But I was at the gym just praying through how to close out this year, and I just couldn't get this phrase out of my head, game over, game on. And so I want to start, though, this service this morning is going to be kind of a prequel to where we're going in 2025. And so I want to encourage you, this is just one of those times just to really, it won't be a lot of notes to take, won't be a lot of quotes on the thing, just something to give you some scripture and talk through a few things. And that what I really want you to do is allow the Lord to speak to your heart. This passage here, this that you see on the screen, This is the scripture that catapulted me into my doctoral studies. And after studying that, when you hear over and over me keep saying faithful witness, faithful witness, faithful witness, this is where that comes from. They're reading this. John is writing. Now, John is this man of God, this man from this Johannine community, this prophet, if you will, who's exiled to the island of Patmos. And he says, for his witness. And for that, I couldn't imagine being John. There are days that I would not mind being John. How many have those days where you would not mind if the Lord just took you up out of wherever you were and just put you on an island all to yourself? How many would just say, Lord, exile me right now? I'll write it down. But John says that this wasn't as exciting as it sounds like. I know we've done some things in movies and books and stuff to try to really depict this, but John says at times he fell down terrified. But this passage right here, look at what he says. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace to you and peace from him who is and who was and who is to come. That's talking about God the Father. And from the seven spirits who are before his throne, we won't dig super deep into this, but I'll give you just something to understand. When he's saying to seven churches, there is a message that's going to go to seven churches, but every church hears all of these messages. The seven is really a number that represents totality. When you hear the seven spirits, it's not like these seven angels around. This is the Holy Spirit encompassed around the throne of God. So grace and peace from he who is and was and is to come, and from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn among the dead and the ruler of the kings of the earth, to him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever and ever. Amen. And over we'll hear throughout the book of Revelation over the next several weeks in our series that he who has ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying to his church. The grass withers, the flowers fade, but the word of the Lord endures forever. Church, I'm gonna make this one statement. If you are one who just has to write down something, maybe you write down this one statement and you just branded into your heart. Hear me close. Christ again so that it sits weighty. So let's stop playing games. I'm gonna say it again so that it sits weighty. And I want you to just think about what that means for you. Christ has won the victory. So let's stop playing games. There's something that I've thought about in this whole idea of games. We're going to play some games over there today. I was telling Vargo, I started to wear my Crocs today. When I'm playing games, generally, if I'm at home playing games, if I'm going to someone else's house playing games, I throw on some joggers, a hoodie, or a t-shirt, and I'm going to probably wear some, either I'm wearing some Hey Dudes, or I'm wearing some, like, I'm not a big Crocs person, but I'll wear some flops or something. Sometimes, I mean, when I go to the gym, I'll put on my Crocs. But there's something about the, I start to wear the Crocs because how many Crocs wearers in the, I don't understand, y'all. They just feel so weird. I mean, I think everybody in my family wears them. I was like, no, I'm not doing this. Then one time, I think I was in a Goodwill or something. I saw someone say, hey, $2, you know, just let's see what's, like, nah, can't do it. I can't do it. But anyways. The funny thing about these Crocs to me is, I've heard people say this phrase, and it took me a minute to understand what they're talking about. Did you just say
game mode
or what is it?
Sport mode.
How many have ever heard that? Put them in sport mode. Like, my sons will be out, you know, doing something like, hold on a second, and then they'll flip the little thing back like, things are changing now because you put a little tab in the back. Like, I will still break your ankles. I mean, it's just this thing. But I was thinking about some things, and I started to make them some points last night when I'm putting together, you know, slides and stuff. And then I started thinking, like, that's actually not true. I was thinking about certain things about games.
And I was thinking, like, one of the things about games, and I started saying, here's some truths about games. Truth number one, everybody starts with the same hand. And no, that's not true at all. I mean, that's a foolish statement. Everybody starts at the same block or line. Not really, depending on the game you play, some, you know, can start it. But the reality is, the more that I thought about this, just thinking about this passage, regardless what hand you were dealt, regardless where the starting line was for you, regardless your handicap, that's the only sports term I know, and I don't even know what that means, so let's just move on, right? But regardless of whatever those things are, Christ has won the victory. No, church, are you hearing me? That regardless of where you started off in this thing, you got the bad hand. I get it. You ever play a game with someone and you get that hand and you open up those cards and you're like, oh boy, it's just bad. I love that Kennedy's coming to age of learning how to play card games now, but the funny thing is, it's like, I want her to be on my team a lot, but she has no poker face. I mean, we're dealing cards. Ooh, daddy, watch that. Babe, we can't. But regardless of whatever hand you're dealt, he's won the victory. So we got to stop playing games, church. And let me help you understand something. One thing that I knew stepping into this role as the pastorate, here's what I knew. I understood this quite well. Regardless whatever church I'm assigned to lead, I'm going to lead a congregation of some that are just playing games. Regardless whatever pastor you voted into the pulpit, you'll vote in a man that's sometimes playing games. And I think that because for me, I have a habit, maybe you do this as well, that when the year comes to an end, you begin to look and say, now what do I need to make sure that I get better in this coming year? How many ever done that? We may call them New Year's resolutions, right? You know what? I've been vacillating on this whole thing of discipline and managing my time better until I don't feel like it, playing games. I've been telling myself this is going to be the year that I walk in grace more and treat people more with love and with dignity and respect. Until someone gets on my last nerves, then I'm playing games. This is going to be the year that I'm going to really spend more time on my knees and not on my social media feed. Until I don't feel like it because I'm playing games. This is going to be the year that I become more disciplined in my finances until I see something that I want, playing games. Come on, church, are you with me? This is the time that I'm going to love my spouse better. I'm going to be the better husband, the better wife, until they get on my last nerves, playing games. I'm going to be the son or the daughter that honors my mother and my father like the Bible says. Until they tell me to do something that I didn't really want to do, playing games. But Christ has won the victory. Why are we playing games with this? Next Sunday, we kick off this new series, and I'm excited about this series, Faithful Witness, Fractured World. We're going to take that one passage of scripture that we just read. Listen, I'm not just saying this because it was my doctoral studies. I'm saying this because after studying it for almost 6 years, here's what I've come to understand, that passage that we read really gives us a lens through which we read the whole Bible. It gives us a lens through which we are to hear the Word of God preached and taught. And we're going to walk through a series beginning in January on the relationship, identity, and mission of the church, who we're supposed to be and how we're supposed to be in the world that we occupy. But before we get there, we got to make this resolve in our minds before the ball drops, and I mean that figuratively and literally. We've got to make up our mind that Christ has won the victory, so I'm done playing games. Amen, church? Oh, come on, this is Sunday. You're going to have to speak back to me. Amen, church? Yeah. This is one of those moments where we say, okay, because of what he's done, I'm going to stop playing around with this thing. And I don't know the areas in your life where there's been compromise. Some have been big, blatant compromises, and you know that God is grieved by this. I'm talking about that. But then there's those small, minuscule things that you think, well, this ain't going to hurt nobody. That little bitterness that you hold on to, I'm talking about that. That unforgiveness, I'm talking about that. That slight bit of envy, I'm talking about that. That this has got to be the Sunday that we say, hold on a second, before we start figuring out who we're supposed to be as the church, let's look individually. And so this morning, I'm just going to look at that one passage, but just in this simple passage that John, this little greeting, in modern times, what John is in essence saying is, game over, game on. Now, the phrase, and even as I'm working through this, it was cool to think about, but I'm thinking, like, this is a contradictory phrase, isn't it? Game over, game on. So this morning, I have to make this, even this title of this sermon, make sense by first explaining how the game has really ended, but then talk to you through how we're going to put our game face on in 2025 as a church, amen? Let's look at what this passage says again. You go ahead and put that up on the screen there. John, to the seven churches that are in Asia, grace and peace to you from him who is and who was and is to come, from the seven spirits who are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ. Now watch this, what it says about Jesus. Everything else here is talking about just Jesus and the space that he occupies, his vocation. It says, from Jesus Christ, the faithful witness. In fact, this is one thing that I would argue. We read this oftentimes too swiftly as if Christ were the last name of Jesus. But if I were to read this the way that I would translate this, it would say, from Jesus, the Messiah. Even just by calling him Jesus Christ, John is saying a big statement there to those who are hearing this. It means that he came accomplishing that which God sent him to do, which he says that in John 17:4. From Jesus Christ, the faithful witness, the firstborn among the dead, and the ruler of the kings of the earth. Now that's talking about Jesus. But look where it brings us now into picture, and this is where we're going to focus on today. To him who loves us and released us from our sins by his blood. And he has made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. To him be the glory and the dominion forever. Amen. Just that one part that he's talking about us. I want to break it down. What he, in this statement right there highlighted in yellow, what he's saying in a sense is game over, game on. Game over. What is he saying here? First, let's look at really what this passage is saying. The question is, when we look at this, are we, you and I, are we demonstrating with our lives what this is declaring? Do you and I live like he loves us and set us free from our sin by his blood? And not just does a lost world see that, but do your brothers and sisters who worship with you see that? Does your household who lives with you see that? Do you remind people, are you a faithful witness to the fact that Jesus overcame death, hell, and the grave for you and for me? Are we witnesses to this? Well, what is this word declaring? First, the word declares that we are loved by God. This sounds like a very simple point to preach in a message, but you know what? As I read this, it says, to him who loves us. And oftentimes, we understand the love of God in the past tense. We're stuck in this John 3:16, for God so loved that he gave, and we miss the point that right now, we are overwhelmed by his love. We miss that. And maybe because our problem is we live in a world that's so stacked against this love of God. We live in a world that's so distorted what love looks like that even when we start to think that we're loved by God, that it's all of a sudden this judgmental love. Come on, how many has ever been there? How many have ever struggled to walk into your prayer closet or spend time to open up your word because all you have hanging over your head is what I've done to disappoint God? Come on, is that just me? Even when we say game over or stop playing games, some of us are like, I've been playing that game too long. I don't even know how God can look at me. But he said he loves us. Understand this, church, and we'll get there in a couple weeks here. But everything that we're about to read in the words to come, in the chapters to come in Revelation, he's still talking to them. He's talking to Thyatira, who's now tolerating the sinfulness and immorality in the church. He's saying, I love you. He's saying, I love you to Pergamum, who's now following the teaching of things out in the world. That the last witness that was in Pergamum is Antipas, and he's dead now. And he's saying, I love you. He's saying, I love you to the church of Laodicea, who won't even open the door for him. The church that's made up in their mind, we're so affluent, we've made it, we're so successful, we don't need you, Jesus. And he's saying, I love you. I love you. Church, this morning, do we understand the victory that has been won because of the love of Jesus? And I as much as we can say amen to that, I'm a living witness that I just don't know that I understand fully the love of God. Our daily interaction with this sin-sick world has seemed to distance that love. And we've distanced that love so much that some of us have fallen into this trap of thinking, if God really loved me, come on, I won't even make you raise your hands. But how many of us have camped out right there if he really loved me? We talked about this in our Beatitudes series. That some of us can sometimes become situationally poor. If God really loved me, then this wouldn't have happened. If God really loved me, then they wouldn't have done this to me. If God really loved me, then this wouldn't have turned out this way. If God really loved me, he would have stepped into this situation in a different way. We don't understand. In the absence of that love, oftentimes we find ourselves ensnared in sin. And I'm not just talking about sin like fornication and lying, not just the popular sins, but just the unforgiveness. We don't understand the forgiveness of God. We don't understand how much he's forgiven us, so it's hard for us to forgive others. It's really hard. We don't understand his grace poured out on us, so it's hard for us to show grace on others. We don't understand the fact that Jesus doesn't sit at the right hand of the Father making slander against us. He makes intercession for us. So it's hard to understand that even us in our wickedness, if this is what Christ did for us, that's what his love does, so then we're prone to slander. We're prone to discord, to envy, to lust. What about disobedience like rest? Come on, what games are you playing? What games have you played in 2024, church? This is as we step into a new year, are you bringing that into this new year with you? Are you bringing that into the new year with you? Truth of the matter is, if we really understood and appreciated the love that Christ has for us, it would change things dramatically. Pastor Aaron, I don't know if we'll ever will. I don't know either, church. But I don't know if we stop enough and really consider the love of the Lord. We sing about it all the time, don't we? He is jealous for me. Love like a hurricane. I am a tree. Sounds beautiful. But how often have you sat in that? How often have you just sat in the weightiness of the love of God? Church, can I ask you something? When was the last time you sat in a moment and understood his love for you and it overwhelmed you to tears? It just overwhelmed you to tears. I think it's become, I think it's referred to like as a consumerism. And did you all hear the Because you know what we do? We come to church, we sing our songs, we give the Lord his tithe, our offering, we support the missions, we hear the good preaching, we go to our Sunday schools. Some of us might even double down and show up on a Wednesday night for a Bible study. And I'm not frowning at any of that. That's called the public congregational worship of the church. But what about that moment when it's just you to sit and think about the goodness of God? Have you ever thought, just thought how undeserving you are of his love that it starts to make you shake a little bit? Come on, have you ever just sat there thinking about how much God loves you and your lip starts just to quiver a little bit and you start, it's almost like you're having almost a panic attack because you're thinking to yourself, could anyone love me this much? But this is what victory looks like. This is how the game is won by his love. Listen, I know that we sing the song that my praise or my weapon is a melody. But that's only if you're tone deaf, really. I mean, it's a weapon. If you're standing by some and listening to them sing, they can weaponize singing. We're not talking about you, Jason. We're actually not talking to you either. I'm going to make Jason lead worship one day. I'm telling you, the man sounds like Elvis Presley. But folks, the real weapon is his love. And why would I say that? Because it says that he loved us, but then watch this. He released us from the bondage of sin by his blood. That's what the victory looks like. It's a love that does something. And here's what the implications of this is. John says he loved us and released us from the bondage of sin by his blood. Do you know what that means? That means that the love of Christ precedes your walking upright. Oh, if the church understood what I meant right now. That means that there's some of you in this place, and the good news is he loves you. Before you know the lyrics to the songs that we sang, he loves you. Before you know the words that are written in this book, he loves you. Before you got on your church clothes and you got all dressed up to come and be in the presence, before you put on your cologne and your perfume and you came to look, he didn't care about any of that. He loved you when you were strung out yesterday. He loved you when you were going off and running off and just tearing up that person. He still loved you. He loves you, and his love understood that you're stuck in something that you can't get out of yourself. The game that you've been playing, you don't have the cards to win. The reality is this vacillating back and forth, this holding between two opinions, you don't have the hand to win it. But it is his blood, his shed blood for our sins that's won the victory. And church, that victory, because he's won that victory, it means you don't have to let go of that bondage to earn his love. His love helps you to let go of that bondage. That game that you've been playing, it's not like, if I could just stop doing this, I know that I would just feel the love. No. You need to understand that in this place right now. He loves you right now. Right where you are. Well, Pastor, you don't know. I sure don't. It's like playing games. If the folks that I love playing cards with are the folks that know how to keep their hand to themselves. Because I'm going to tell you why. My shirt is semi-red. If you're at the Christmas party, you know what that means. Anybody sitting at a card table today with a red shirt, I don't know why I just chose that color, but people with red shirts on, they cheat in card games. Listen, if you're wearing red, just we're watching you. Watch Rosemary's hands. I'm just trying to tell you right now. It is what it is, okay? But listen, I'm going to tell you right now. If you hold your hands, I don't care who you are. I don't care if you're 4 years old and you're still learning how to hold it. I'm going to look in your hand. I'm going to see how to play. But this ain't that. I don't know what's in your hand. I don't know what you're playing with. I don't know what God's been asking of you and you've been saying no to God. I don't. He's not giving me that spirit of discernment and this prophetic insight to say, you know what, right now, I can see this is going on in your life and needs to stop. I just know that God said, Aaron, before we close this year out, here's my word to the church. I've won the victory, so stop playing games. That's the word to West Highland. I don't know what your game is. I don't know what cards you've been playing. All I know is this. He's won the victory, and it's time for us to stop playing games. When we think about this thing, this whole idea of releasing us from our sins, we understand forgiveness. But as I was reading this, I was thinking about John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and righteous to forgive us, but also to cleanse us from unrighteousness. And our problem is that we sing about forgiveness, but sometimes we're silent about the cleansing. Look at me, church. It's no good. It does you and I no good. It does us no good to walk in here, pour our hearts out to God. Lord, forgive me. Lord, I thank you for you. Yes, Lord, I understand your love. I receive your love. Thank you for your love, God. Oh, I'm so sorry for God. Oh, forgive me. And walk out and keep playing the same games unnecessarily. And listen, please don't hear me making light of us really. He says he released us from the bondage of sin. That it's not, I know it's not as easy as saying, okay, Lord, forgive me, and then you walk and I'm free. But there's something about this thing that I think we've missed. This act of daily confessing, and in our confessing, even declaring the word of God over our, Lord, I thank you not only for your forgiveness, but thank you, God, that you can cleanse me of this. That you can rid me of this. Because I can't. The sermons can't. Songs can't. Your Sunday school can't, Bible study can't. We can write book after book and talk about disruption after disruption, but there's only one that can release us from the bondage of sin, and that is the one who shed his blood for us. And it says he's released us from it. But church, here's the thing. Not only have we been silent about the cleansing, I think we've been silent about the confessing. And I'm not just talking about you run around to everybody in church, hey, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, I'm doing... But I'm saying that just even confessing before Christ. Well, he already knows me, doesn't he? Absolutely. But he wants you to come before him open and saying, Lord, this is me. This is the version of me that I know that's not representative of the good works that you've called me to do. Church, he's won the victory. Game over. I'm loved by God. I'm done playing these games. I'm released from the bondage of sin. Whatever that is in your life, I'm done with that. I'm done acting like that's got to be my attitude every time someone says something. I'm done with that. Blessed are the gentle. I'm done with this being a part of my life. I was holding on to it so long. I'm done making these things idols. I put them to death. Blessed are they that mourn. I'm tired of complaining in the situation that I'm in. Lord, I know you've won the victory even in this situation. Good. Be refined and resolute. Now somebody say game on. Okay, thank you, Christina, because I didn't know what was going on. I thought maybe I went to sleep for a second. Come on, somebody say game on.
Game on!
Okay, so now that's cool if we're just talking about Uno, but we're talking about kingdom. Bring it, Jeff. That's what I'm talking about. Someone say game on.
Game on!
There you go. Because here's what it says. He's made us to be a kingdom, priest to his God and Father. He's made us to be a kingdom. Imagine this. Messed up people. I look around this room, and some of you I've come to know a little bit, so I know a little bit of your story. I know the stuff that God has brought you through. I know the stuff that God is yet bringing you through. I know the stories of some that are right now just before the Lord for your family. That a loved one is lost, a loved one is sick, a loved one is hurting. I know some of the stories. I know that it's not just that you're that some are hurting. I know that some of you are grieved because some of your loved one that has hurt someone else. But imagine that Jesus is saying, all of these broken people, I love them. I shed my blood for every last one of them. I've shed my blood for the drunkard. I've shed my blood for the one who's addicted to drugs. I've shed my blood for the one who's been unfaithful in their marriage. I've shed my blood for the person who's dealing with gambling problems. I've shed my blood for the person who's struggling with unforgiveness. I've won the victory for them. I've shed my blood for the one that's made work an idol so they never take a Sabbath rest. And it's interesting, I've heard sermon after sermon about our finances. I've heard sermon after sermon about marriage. I've heard sermon after sermon about sexual purity. I haven't heard a whole bunch of them about being obedient to take the Sabbath rest. But it's a command. But we've idolized now our jobs. But he's saying, I love all of them. And actually, by shedding my blood, it's like I put a whole bunch of draw 10s in the deck. Now, you don't know about the draw 10. You will later on. You will later on. I stacked the deck with a bunch of skips and reverses. If you're a skip bowl player, I put a bunch of skip bowl wilds in there. Come on, you know what I'm saying? If your score is up, come on. I put the jokers in there for you, the trump cards. The blood has done that for us. Those of us that didn't even deserve it. And what did he do? He said, I made you a kingdom. As I was going to bed last night, I started to sit up and just go and write this down. And I said, Lord, please help me remember in the morning because I'm too tired to get out of bed. Maybe I was tired or lazy. But he didn't say he made us to be kingdoms. Church, he made us to be a kingdom. And all the competitiveness that seems to go on. And you know what? It was one thing to think it goes from denomination to denomination. This Baptist church versus that Baptist church. Or, ooh, this Pentecostal church against that Baptist church. Oh. But you know what, church? We don't have to leave 1116 South Hickory Ridge. Ministry against ministry, pew against pew, family against family. It happens in the church. It happens in the church. And he says, he made us to be a kingdom, priests to his God and Father. What does that look like in this messed up world, God taking messed up people, pouring his love on them, pulling the trump card by his blood? What does that look like? Looks like what Jesus prayed for in John 17. He said, I've given them your word. And the world has hated them because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask you to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is the truth. As you sent me into the world, I've also sent them into the world. For their sakes, I sanctify myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I don't ask on behalf of these alone, and he's talking about the 12 that were with him, but for all those who believe in me through their word. That means he's praying for you and me, right? Before we're even here, before there's this little Timony cottage that they come together 192 years ago to start worshiping, before we build on a Nartha, whatever the thing y'all call that, the narthex thing, the foyer, before they build on the foyer, before Dr. Charlock says, you know what, I'd love to get an academy over here. He's praying for us. Before you vote in a new pastor, he's praying, don't take them out of the world, but sanctify them as a kingdom in the world that they're in. He says that they all may be one. Watch this. not how you and I define one. Well, at least we're not arguing. That's not what he asked for. Well, we showed up and we smiled, we worked together, we served together. That's not what he asked for. Oh, harmony, diversity, purity, harmony. That's not what he asked for. Or maybe he did ask for harmony, diversity, purity in the biblical sense, because this is what he says, that they may be one even as you, Father, are in me and I am in you, so that they may be in us, so that the world may believe that you sent me. So here it is, church. Christ has won the victory. We need to stop playing games, but understand this. The game ain't over yet. The game ain't over yet. Somebody say game on.
Game on.
Come on, say it again. Say game on.
Game on.
I got to tell you a quick story, and I'm going to tell you, we're going to close. I'm going to show you how we're going to put on our game faces. Someone that I'm really, I've got to pray. I'm offended by them. I'm just being honest with you. There's discord in my heart because they planted a bad seed in my household. They gave us Uno, show no mercy. And I'm not going to name any names. Their names might rhyme with Rayburn. So if you take the air out of their tires, it's okay. It's okay. So we're playing this game. Has anybody in here played Uno, show no mercy? Has anyone not played that game? Please see me. Please see me. I have to say, oh, this is going to be great. Revenge. I'm sorry. This is a spiritual moment. Ooh, here it comes. So we take this game with us to the UK, and I'm in the living room, and I can hear my mom at the table playing this game with Kennedy, and so she's playing the card game. And I can hear my mom as she's teaching Kennedy how to play this, and Kennedy's a sharp learner, so she's memorizing some things. And so I'm hearing that Kennedy's playing this card game with my mom. And Kennedy's kind of catching on, but I know that my mom's taking it easy on her because, you know, she's being sweet. It's a little grandbaby, whatever. So we get home. Now, on Christmas, my family decides, hey, guys, we're going to play this game. We sat down playing it. Kennedy kept coming over. You can see right here, she's sitting watching because she wants to play. She's got daddy's robe on, and she's just sitting quietly at the table watching as we're playing. And we're not playing. She's looking at the deck. But you look at it. Can you see her eyes? You don't want the smoke that this little girl has. I mean, this is. So she said, Daddy, can I play? Daddy, can I play? No, this is for the grown-ups. This is for the grown-ups. Okay. Then she just watches. But I can see she's sad when it's over. Like, everybody else got to play. So, you know, okay, listen, Mom will play a game with us. She plays a game with Karen. I may be helping her out a little bit. And so she beats Karen. And you can see she's all excited about it. But that's not the faith. That's not from her beating Karen. I wish it was. Then she wants to play somebody else. You know what? Daddy will play with you. And then Karen's not helping her. But I'm still taking it easy on her. I didn't last two rounds. Like, I didn't get to play three cards. By my second card, she's got me drawing like 28 cards. I'm angry. So I put my hands down. But then I realized something. Oh, you're playing. You want to play games? Okay, I was playing the last hand. Game over. Since you want to step up to the big kids, don't look at me with those judging eyes. She did it, so I said, let's play again. This time, I put my game face on. I'm not going to treat you like a little seven-year-old now, because that face that she made right there, this is the face as I'm drawing my 28 cards. She's like, and I wish I had recorded the video because she has this very, like, conniving laugh. I'm like, oh. I showed her why that game was called Uno, Show No Mercy. I put that little girl in her place. Listen, don't you judge me. I don't even care. She was drawing 34 cards, and then when I went upstairs to bed, Karen said, why did Kennedy come up here crying? Because I put my game face on. Bring it. I'm a horrible dad. I'm a horrible dad. I let her get candy for breakfast the next day. But here's the deal. Some of us, yeah. See, some of us in 24 and maybe the years before that, we've been playing around with some stuff, thinking that we can control it, thinking that we're controlling the outcome of this thing. I know that God is asking me to lock down in this area. I know that God is asking this of me. I know, but I'll get around to it. It's like playing Uno with a seven-year-old thinking, oh, this is so precious. I'm gonna let her play those couple of cards until all of a sudden our hands. I start to bring a deck of cards up here to show you what I do when I start losing. I'm gonna admit it. Karen and I play card games regularly. And when I see that this is not going in my favor, how many ever heard of the game 52 Pickup? All day. Somebody come get this mess because I'm just done. But we've been doing that for too long. And because we've been playing around with some things that God has said not to play around with, our spiritual lives are suffering. Maybe our families are suffering. Because you've been playing around with something that God said, stop playing around. I've won the victory. Why are you playing around with this? The game's not over. We've got to get our game face on. So I'm going to show you, as a church, we're going to empower you to you put your game face on. Very simple. We're going to do three things. We're going to let go, we're going to lock in, and we're going to link up. Let go, lock in, and link up. Here's what I mean by let go. By let go, we're going to today, you go back for a minute there for me, back to that top one there. Just even as the worship team is going to come for a moment, we're going to close this morning in prayer. But what is it that God is asking you to leave in 24? He's won the victory. It's time to stop playing games. What games have you been playing that you have to say, God, we're done. God, no more. We're letting it go. I'm letting this thing go. It's hard to, but I'm letting this thing go, God. We're done. I'm done with it. That's going to be in the time of prayer. But the next thing is we have to do more than prayer. We're going to lock in. We're going to lock in. And by lock in, I mean more than just coming to church on Sunday mornings. I love that I've gotten together with Sue in our Christian Ed department. We were talking about this, I was going to say last year. It's still this year. It's still 24. We've been talking about this, though, for probably a few months now. Just how do we as a church go deeper? How do we as a church, how do we become more than the church that shows up on Sunday morning and it was great? But we want to grow deeper in the Word, and we want to grow deeper in community with each other. Amen? This excites me to no end. But we have one for every household here, and I want to make sure that you get locked in this year. We have a new series that's kicking off next Sunday, but even before we get there, there's some stuff for you in here that's right now. What this is a devotional packet that has three devotionals every week for you to do. It's full of not only some stuff for you to read together as a family in the Word of God, it has discussion starters and questions for you to engage with that really connect back to the Word that was preached on Sunday. Not even only that, it has some challenges for you, some opportunities for you to connect with other people in the church, whether you do that at someone's house, over dinner, at a coffee shop. It's to connect us together as a body, but connect us to the Word of God and connect us more to the preaching and teaching of the Word. Amen? Somebody say lock in. Come on, somebody say lock in. I'm asking everybody this morning, every household, take one of these. We'll have them up front when we dismiss this morning. Everyone, take one of these home. And we'll have, if you're watching online, you weren't here today, we'll have extras of these. And some of you, you may say, hey, I know a family that has not been here in a while and they watch online. Can I take one to them? Yes. And if we run out of these, we'll run off some more and we'll have more next week. We want to make sure that every household has one of these so that we can lock in. Now, someone say link up. Come on, say it louder. Say link up. Three opportunities for you to link up that he says he made us to be a kingdom. That means we've got to do stuff together as a body. That's not just showing up together on Sunday mornings for worship, but it means that we change the game on our Wednesday night Bible studies. We have three opportunities for Bible study on Wednesday night beginning in, is it the first Wednesday? It's the second Wednesday of the year. It's starting Wednesday the 8th. Starting Wednesday, yeah, because the first is going to be like no one's going to be here, right? So starting Wednesday the 8th, we have three opportunities for you to get linked up in Bible study on Wednesday night. The first is our shape. This is our discovering and cultivating your spiritual gifts. That's going to be a class. If you're trying to figure out like, hey, what am I supposed to be doing in the kingdom? Maybe you're new to the faith. Maybe you're not new to the faith, but you're just new to just trying to get plugged in, and you're saying, I want to take my walk with Christ more seriously. I want to be used by God in a major way. This is our discipleship course, and it's a great opportunity for you to get connected with others that are going to learn about how has God designed me to be used in his kingdom. So there's shape. The next one is, go ahead to that next one, trials and triumph. This is our relationship track. So the first one is discipleship track. Our relationship track is just a good old-fashioned Bible study. This is going to be an archaeological journey through the seven churches in Revelation. On Sunday mornings, while we're preaching about the message to the seven churches, on Wednesdays, you can come back and have a great time in fellowship and community to learn about some of the background information that takes place around these messages, what's taking place there in the church. And then finally, we have preaching and teaching with skill and influence. If you're in this place and you say, hey, pastor, I want to learn how to preach. I want to teach, whether it's preaching sermons, doing Bible studies. Hey, I want to be a more effective Sunday school teacher. I want to lead in small groups. This is going to be a course for you. Any one of these three, you can sign up. They're going to go for 8 weeks, and then we're going to take a break. It's going to kind of run just like a session. So session one is going to go for 8 weeks, and then we're going to pause, come together for a time of celebration, and then you can go to a second. We're going to run those again, except the shape one we're going to do for section A, and then the next 8 weeks we're going to do a class on financial stewardship. We're linking in. We're getting linked up. We're going to lock into this thing. Amen? The last one now, and I'll just end with this, and the worship team will lead us in a song, and then we'll close. The last one is just our Sunday night prayer. And I think all three are here. It's Sunday night prayers where we lock in, we let it go, and we link up. It's going to be a time that we're coming together. These Sunday nights, when we get together for Bible study, church, it's not a time to hear me preach. It's not a time for the worship team. We may have music playing softly in the background, but this is just time for us to come and be before the Lord, specifically on those things that we've written down on those papers, but even more than that, we're saying, Lord, let your kingdom come, your will be done at 1116 South Hickory Ridge Road as it is in heaven. Amen? How many are ready to do these things this year? Come on, how many are ready in 2025 to get your game face on? Come on, church, how many are ready to get your game face on in 2025? Come on, why don't you stand with me? Lisa, go ahead and lead us in, and I'll come back and close us out in prayer.
In my
responses. One, especially if you're not hanging around for game, make sure you come up here and grab one of the booklets to take with you. Again, there's some things that you can start this week. They're not assigned for any particular days. They're just three times a week you have to be able to take the teaching of the word one step further. So make sure you take one of these. If you did not get a chance to fill out that prayer card, take a moment, even while we're doing games or something, fill that out. Just, you can hand that to myself, one of the elders. Just get that over to us. And lastly, if you did not receive one, they have blank ones back there at the Welcome Center in the foyer. Father, we thank you that you have won the victory, God. And because you've won the victory, Lord, we can stop playing games. Lord, we can stop playing games with these different things that we've been maybe just wrestling back and forth with throughout the year, whatever those things may be. God, I pray that this is a year that we walk into, not just being able to sing that we're more than conquerors, but that we are a testimony to being more than conquerors for him that loved us while we were yet sinners. You loved us and gave yourself for us. So we thank you for your love. We thank you for the victory, God. And may we leave this place empowered by that victory with our game face on. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. Booklets are available here, and you know what awaits you on the other side of the wall.